And then I had the opportunity to go work in a dental hospital in China doing humanitarian
work. Wow. Okay. How was that?
That was life-changing. My mom actually sent me there because she thought I was too spoiled. They do it. Oh, my breath is fresh. And then literally a little bit later, they're like, oh, it smells so bad because it's so dry in your mouth. If someone doesn't floss, that doesn't mean I'm not looking at them going, oh, you're not taking care of your teeth. They might be using interdental picks, which are a lot more efficient. But it's funny because even when patients are bleaching,
right,
every patient will. I don't want to look like Ross on Friends. Ross on Friends.
Is that normal for cleaning? And how long should scaling take?
For an adult mouth, you should be in there for about a good 45 minutes to an hour. Like if it's 30 minutes and they're done.
That says it all.
Hello, everyone. It's Will Ellis with If You Build It, the podcast, with our guy Riyadh. He's also here with us.
Thank you, the star.
As a human being, I truly enjoy going to the dentist. I go every 3 months. I think it's great having clean teeth and just I floss every day. I love the dentist. So I'm very happy to have Dr. Jeannie Lee here, dentist and owner of Dentistry on University. Social media is also Dentistry on University. And website is dentistryonu.com. Welcome to the show.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. So first, tell us about your business, where it's located, and how'd you get into it?
So we're located right in the heart of the financial district. We're right at University in Adelaide.
Wow.
Big flagship hotel, Shangri-La, is just north of us.
One of my faves.
I believe that you hang out there a lot. Yep. So
he's there every Thursday. Oh, you go there tonight, right?
Come by if you come early. You were asking.
Tell us about your business.
So we do general dentistry. Because it's in the financial district, we kind of cater towards executives and professionals, professionals in that corridor. So, time efficiency is key.
Yep.
Making sure that everything is done properly, whether it's billing or whether it's scheduling, that customer service is there. Because, when you have the Shangri-La just north of you,
yep,
your service has to be impeccable.
And how did you get into this business?
How did I get into dentistry? So I knew that I was good with my hands. When you take those, I don't know if they do those aptitude tests in school anymore.
I don't think so.
Back in the day.
Yeah, they did them, yes.
And so I would get engineer or healthcare. And then my brother wanted to be a doctor. And I was like, not doing that. I knew I was good with my hands. So I was like, what about dentistry? And then I had the opportunity to go work in a dental hospital in China doing humanitarian work.
Wow. Okay. How was that?
That was life-changing. My mom actually sent me there because she thought I was too spoiled.
So, I'm going to get you.
Yeah. She was like, you have to suffer, right? And a pastor that... we knew had opened a dental hospital in China.
Wow.
And actually, he actually entered North Korea and opened one up in North Korea as well.
Wow.
So my mom was like, okay, go. She was my best friend. Her dad was the one that opened it up. Go with Hannah to China and teach English. We were there for about 2 months.
Wow.
And it was like old school. Like there was no running hot water. So it was like taking a shower was like, you had to put it in, like, because he had connections in Canada, they would send him like back in the 80s. Like, I don't know, like when you went to church, they would have these big vats of coffee.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Silver canisters.
The urns.
So you had to put the cold water in there, then bring out the hot water through that. And then like kind of splish splash.
Wow.
Right. And Like while that's happening, like centipedes are crawling up and I'm just like, oh my goodness, where am I?
Right.
So we were there for about 2 months teaching.
How old are you?
At this point, I was 18.
Wow.
What experience.
Yeah.
And so that, so then from there, you decided dentistry is what you wanted to do.
So what ended up happening was the dentists were like, do you want to actually see what we do? Because like not a lot of dentists, you go see it and you see it from a patient perspective, but you don't actually see it from a dentist perspective.
Right.
So when I went there, he was like, come see, this is dentistry. And he was doing a root canal. And I was just like, wow, this is crazy that there's this huge world inside this mouth that the most general public probably don't even know how intricate it is. Right? So I was very fascinated by that. And after I came back, I was like, you know what? I really think this is something I can do.
And how long is the schooling?
So dependent, like for me, when I went, you could apply. I did a double major in university thinking, you know, I was going to finish it and then go into dental school. But I got in after my third year, so I didn't even get it.
Wow.
My degree. So dependent on it, I think these days it's a lot more competitive. So I think a lot of kids are getting in after they graduate or in their master's, doing a master's in science. And then there's 4 years after that.
Wow.
If you're just a general dentist, if you want to go on and then do orthodontics or pediatric dentistry, then you have 3 more years in addition.
So, sir, hold up here. The years. University, 5 years.
Four.
4 years. Then you said you could do your master's.
Yep.
So that's another year.
Yep.
And then you have 4 years of general dentistry.
Yep.
So that's now 9 years.
Yep.
Then if you want to go into pediatrics, it's another 3 years.
Yep.
So it could be up to 12 additional school, 12 years
up
of schooling.
To. Up to.
Wow.
I didn't know that actually.
So did you open your practice right away?
No. No, I was never going to open up a practice.
Okay.
No.
So why did you do it?
I ended up working for about 10 years and then I was working in the financial core and it was just going from each dental office and working underneath someone and kind of playing by their rules and then seeing how some of the staff were getting really mistreated. The standards were just not standards that I was okay with. And the biggest thing was, I think that what pushed me was working with she's runs my office now. She had called me and she was just telling me how they were kind of doing her around.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was like, I just, and she's great. She's such a wonderful person. And she was like, I just want to work somewhere that I just want to do good work. And I was like, if I opened up a dental practice, would you work with me? And she goes, absolutely. So because she said that, I was like, okay, like I'll do it for her.
Wow.
Yeah.
And when was this?
This was 2014.
Wow. So you've been in business now 10 years.
10 years.
And same location?
Same location.
When you say standards, because I got the Shine, right? That's his place. It's his jam. Because the service there is so very high. I've been to Shine a couple of times, but it's the level of expectation is very high.
Yes.
So what, because if you were in another location, I don't think the expectations on you service has to be as high. What are the service standards at your business?
So I just want to make something clear. I'm not saying that I'm a better dentist.
Oh, no, I'm saying that though.
That's not what it is. It's more so, and the reason why I'm downtown also is it is executive hours. I'm 8 to 5. I'm not working past 5 because I want to come home and I want to be a mom, right?
Yeah.
In addition to that, it's not, for me, it's not volume. Volume based, right? It's not like let's get people in and out, right? It's like when you come, this is the time that's allotted for you. We're not going to rush your treatment. And if it's not going to fit into that time, I'm going to make sure to tell you in advance so that you're not running late for your business or your business meeting or, if you have client meetings, right? So there's that. And also when you come out and you're doing the billing, it's not like, oh, we'll get it done for you. It's done. Mm-hmm. We're going to tell you exactly why it's done, how it's done, when you're going to get your payments, because you don't have time for that.
Yeah.
You're going in and out. You're in and out of meetings. You're in and out of, you know, you got to run your own staff. Like, you don't have time to be like, oh, yeah, we'll get to it. Oh, Charlene forgot to do that.
Right.
Like, you know.
And so with how many employees do you have?
So I have three.
Three employees. And you guys are, and you are there every day, 8 to 5?
No.
Okay. Okay.
I'm there. So every other week I'm there on Fridays, but Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, I'm there. And then Wednesdays I have off, but my staff are there 5 days a week.
Wow. Perfect. And then what has 10 years into your business, what has been your biggest challenge, especially being downtown?
I don't think it's a downtown thing. I think one of the questions you had asked me is the parts that I really find difficult. And I think it's HR.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest thing is, as an owner, I'm responsible for everyone there. And I'm responsible for the atmosphere that's created there as well. And so when you have someone who's quiet quitting.
Yes.
That's, I think, one of the hardest. Because if it were up to me, I'd be like, you're gone.
Yeah.
But like labor standards, you have to give them a performance review and you have to like give them the opportunity to change. But honestly, if you're quiet quitting, like it doesn't really matter. And so that time that you're, whether it's 3 months or 6 months that you're waiting for them and giving them that opportunity, it degrades the morale of the office. Yeah. And as an owner, I feel so bad to like the stellar teammates because they have to go through that.
Yeah.
They have to witness that every day and they're putting their 180%, beyond 100% effort. And then you have someone who they know other people are going to do that. They know that I can't do anything legally to fire them. So they're just going to drag their feet and just come in every day and just collect their paycheck because they can.
And when it comes to like, that's a tough thing. Like, have you had to fire people?
Luckily, the only firing I had was during their probation period, which was easy. So
easy, yeah.
The ones that haven't worked out, like grace of God, they just moved on themselves.
Right.
So I was very happy about that.
Right. That's great.
What's been the biggest change in the 10 years of you owning your own business in dentistry? Has it been new trends or?
Like change in dentistry or in myself?
Yeah, dentistry.
I think the trend in dentistry has gone, we were talking about this before we started. Yeah. A lot more cosmetically driven.
Does that bother you?
A little bit.
Why?
Because I'm here ultimately as a healthcare provider, you're trying to see if a person is healthy and functioning properly. Cosmetics, you can say that it's mental health and everything, but the reality of it is a lot of people have healthy teeth. They're just like, it's just not, doesn't look perfect.
Right, and perfect teeth, like we were talking about veneers.
Yeah.
You provide that service.
Yeah.
When should someone get, again, I mean, he yelled at me yesterday about the question. I emailed him the question. He's like, Will, this is not business oriented out there. But my point of the question is that when people have bad veneers, now I'm not knocking athletes. A couple of athletes I've seen, a Dodger, he had a World Series, he hit the game one home run, the biggest teeth I've ever seen, veneers. And then at the Vince Carter thing the other day, I know a forward player had big teeth. How do you know when someone has good veneers and bad veneers in their mouth?
Well, just like you said, like the fact that a lay person can look at that and go, whoa, those teeth are so big.
But they left there saying these are great. That's the thing.
You know, but that's the thing. When people come in, a huge part of dentistry, and I think we've gotten a lot better, is the dentist listening. So for the person who you think has really big teeth, he might have had a diastema or space in between his teeth.
Right.
And for him, that looks horrible. That looks horrible. But then all of a sudden you close it and they're like, this is amazing. I look like amazing. Right?
Right.
But are there golden proportions in dentistry that we use? Absolutely.
Okay. Right.
But does everyone fit that the way they are right now? No. Like if you want to get that picture perfect smile. Sometimes it entails getting braces done, mm-hmm. getting that spacing in between the teeth better so that it's more ideal, right? And then that's the thing too. Some people come in, they go, I want to look like this. Like, I know we're a podcast, but I'm Asian.
I did not know that at all.
You know, yeah. I don't have a Julia Roberts smile.
Right.
But if I come in with a Julia Roberts teeth, I want that in my mouth. It's going to look horrible.
Because you have to have the face.
You have to have the face. Teeth. Like, that's why you have to look at the face as well and look at the coloring of the face.
Interesting.
And, you know, does this person have a round face? Does this person have a narrow face? Because that is going to be reflected.
I never thought about that. That makes a lot of sense.
He's going to get veneers now. You know?
I think imperfectly perfect teeth makes sense.
It's funny because my European patients, when they get any aesthetic workup done, they're always like, I don't want to look American.
Yeah, perfect teeth is awful.
Because it's like picket fences, like straight, like it just looks a little bit too
perfect.
It doesn't look natural. You wanted like, I don't know if you, Kristen Dunst, like her teeth.
Yeah.
So, but you need to be able to have those communication skills to sit down and go, okay, listen, there's something I think is good, but at the end of the day, it's what the patient sees in there. Because we could give them perfect veneers. They come home and it's happened to me where I'm like, I showed the husband. He's like, I love it. Good. Gone. Comes back a week later. You got to take them off. Why? I don't know. They're wrong. You got to take them off. And I'm like, okay. Like, and then as we were doing it, he's like, my wife thought they didn't look good. Oh. So every time now I'm like, bring your spouse.
Yeah. No, 100%.
Bring your spouse because they're going to be the ones looking at you more than you're even looking at yourself. Right. Right. And so like, if your spouse is looking at you, you're like, those are wide. Those are very wide. Those are horrible. Then who cares what you think? That's in your head.
Yeah. I don't know. I find it interesting because you provide that service. Like, how does someone know what's right for their mouth without?
So that's why if you're going to the right, a person that's doing it properly, usually most dentists and most practitioners will do a mock-up. And that's, and you really should be doing a mock-up if you're going to be doing aesthetic work like that because you're paying a lot. And listen.
So what do they cost?
Yeah, I'm about to ask the same question, yeah.
Mock-ups?
Like not mock-ups, but like veneers.
Veneers, you're probably looking at around 1,000 a tooth.
A tooth? Wow.
You have to realize like there's a lot of artistry that goes into that. You have a lab technician that's working 20 plus hours on just those teeth for you. Like it's not like I'm not going to name any country, but it's not like you go to like you just 3D print it and like there's color that needs to be taken. Like there is a lot of.
So you can get veneers that are not perfectly white as well?
Oh, yeah. You shouldn't get perfectly white.
We know one person. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
But it's funny because even when patients are bleaching,
right?
Every patient will be like, I don't want to look like Ross on Friends. I don't want to look like Ross on Friends. And we'll bring out a shade guide of like, okay, where do you want to see yourself? And they will always choose like the most unnatural white.
Right.
And most people like that Ross episode, that's actually not feasible with natural teeth.
Right.
Like getting that really white dead tooth look, you can only really get that with porcelain veneers or like porcelain restorations or really white composite. Like when you're even composite, the plastic material that we were talking about, it has less starkness to it. So you do have more dimension to it, but when people are talking about that dead white tooth, it's not actually natural teeth. Natural teeth is very hard to get to look like that.
And how long is the process of veneers?
Depends. Like how he was asking, okay, we can't use to chomp. Like if you're a grinder and the practitioner didn't really take that into consideration, they could fall off very, very easily.
Really?
Yeah.
This is fascinating to
me.
If you're
looking at like evidence-based, if you're getting like 5 to 10 years.
So you have to replace them every up to 10 years?
Not you have to. But you should. If you're getting, you shouldn't.
Right.
There's not a you should. If it breaks down, then yeah, get it replaced. Right. Right? But there's not a hard, steadfast rule of, okay, it's 10 years, you got to get new veneers. But veneers are very, it's cosmetic and it's very subjective. So like sometimes you'll look at veneers from 15 years ago and you're like, why? Oh, why were they, why would you do that? Technology changes as well.
Yep.
So, you know, 15 years ago, veneers, you probably would look at those veneers. They look horrible, but back in the day, they looked amazing.
Right.
Because also our eyes are also changing, like just like how fashion changes.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden rounded edges aren't looking good anymore. It's the sharp edges that you want. So all of that kind of plays into a factor.
That's
so we're not going to name any countries, but why is it cheaper to go to certain other countries versus here? Is it like different technology or is it material or just bad dentistry? From what you've seen.
I think it's the last one you just said, the bad dentistry.
The 100% materials.
Okay.
Materials will play a factor into it. Some countries are using like almost like tin, like for some of their metal components, right?
Wow.
So I don't want to really, you know, I'm Korean, so I get a lot of hate from your listeners because of this. But like, for instance, when I see a lot of people that go to Korea, Korea, they don't really take x-rays before you get a cleaning done.
What?
So they just kind of clean. When you're doing that, you're just kind of cleaning the surface. You're not actually cleaning what needs to be cleaned. So that's just one example of why. And so, you know, they're coming back and, you know, you take these x-rays, then there's boulders of calculus underneath, right? And, you know, what he said, like, oh, it hurts so much. It's going to hurt so much because you got an infection underneath your gums, right? So that's one example where, yeah, if you go to the countries, maybe it's 30 minutes for a cleaning. Yeah. And they're just kind of doing that. So obviously you get what you pay for.
Wow. So what is it, like, if someone goes to the, how often should someone go to the dentist?
That's all relative. Like pants that fit me aren't going to fit you.
Right.
Right. So if you have a mouth.
That's way too easy.
Well, clearly, guys, both your pants combined won't fit me. Let's get that out there.
Good.
Well, thank you. They say black is thinning. So I decided to wear my black skin and black clothing to make myself look ultra slim.
I thought about it going, like, nah, I'm not going to.
The door was open and you did not walk in, right? Yeah.
But it's all dependent. Like, it depends what kind of bacteria is in your mouth. Like,
really?
Natural occurring bacteria. Some patients are more acidic. Their mouth is more acidic. So you're not going to see buildup in
the
mouth.
How would you know that, though?
How would I know if their mouth
How would someone know that my mouth has acid in it?
That's why going to see your dentist and having those conversations with your, not just dentist, but your dental hygienist would also help with that, right? Because if you have acid erosion, your enamel is going to be very thin. It's going to be very translucent. These are the patients that are like, my teeth look so yellow. Why do they? Because teeth have three layers, enamel, dentin, and then your nerve. Dentin is the underlying surface underneath your enamel. Enamel is what it gives you that white color. So if your enamel is thin and translucent, you're going to see that dentin shine right through.
Right.
If you have acid erosion, it is going, like when you see those like TikToks or those videos where you put the tooth in Coke and it like that acid just eats it away. That's essentially what happens when you have an acidic mouth.
Oh.
So that's why a lot of people, especially these days, carbonated water.
Do I don't drink anything carbonated?
Fuck, I drink carbonated water. It is so acidic.
We literally had a word, dear doctor. We talked about carbonated water at like 4 o'clock today. Yeah. God, saying you don't drink anything bubbly, so delicious. Interesting. So, God, there's so much more questions. I love going to the dentist. I go, as I say, I go 4 times a year at least.
So that's the thing. If you're not, sorry, going back, we totally rabbit hole there. I'm sorry. But so if your mouth is acidic, you're not going to have a lot of buildup. If you don't have a lot of buildup, then you might not need to go every 4 months.
Yeah, probably. But right? I enjoy it.
But if you have a basic mouth, so were not acidic, you're going to have a lot of buildup. If you have a lot of buildup, you might need to go every 3 to 4 months. If your teeth are really crowded, you're not able to clean it properly in there, you need some help, you might need to go every 3 to 4 months.
So are there some mouths where you can't floss essentially properly?
Not can't floss, but because of the crowding, bacteria is getting stuck in there.
So I've seen some dentists, some use like a water pick versus the metal pick.
Ultrasonic.
And is there a preference, or is there one better than the other, or in your opinion?
In my opinion, I think that both should be used.
Okay.
Yep. Oh, what's a water pick, like the water gun?
The ultrasonic.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's used on me.
So the reason why I say both is because, yes, the ultrasonic, and I hope a lot of dentists don't come, and dental hygienists don't email you about this, but it's kind of a motorized version. So you can get through a lot very quickly, right? However, that fine tuning comes from using the hand instruments, and the hand instruments need to be maintained. Some dental offices, if it's, let's get them in and out. I don't know how the hygienists are able to test the instruments to see if they're sharp enough to do the right job.
When I go to the, okay, maybe, so when you go to
the, I want to go see her now.
Yeah, try. I need to see her office. I'm being serious. I've been down there. They open up a package whenever I go. It's everything's, I think, new.
That's great, but that's the sterilization process.
Okay.
That means that it's sterilized. They sterilized it just for you and they're opening it for you. They also have to maintain the sharpness of their instruments.
I learned so much right now.
It's like a sushi chef and his knife.
Oh, okay. Well, this guy, what's your favorite sushi restaurant?
There's a lot. I like Miku right now.
Oh, did you go to Minami?
Not yet. That's the.
Yeah. You guys might start hanging at restaurants. He loves great restaurants.
I have to go to Nobu still. They just opened up. So
Nobu's here?
Yeah.
Where?
Isn't it by the Well?
Is it the Well? I can't remember now.
I've yet to be the Well also.
The Well's nice.
I know you've been there a few times. What were we talking about? Oh, instruments.
Yeah.
Yes.
food is the biggest problem. So,
the thing is, if your instruments aren't sharp, then and an hygienist is going, it can be very painful.
Now, bleeding.
Yes.
I heard bleeding. If your gums bleed, your gums should not bleed, I've been told.
When you walk around and your skin is bleeding, would you think something's wrong with my skin if it's bleeding?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Just putting it out there. No, true. My gums don't bleed, but I'm just putting it out there. What about flossing? How often should someone floss?
Okay. Flossing is kind of controversial because flossing... just because you floss doesn't mean that the flossing isn't the best tool out there for everyone.
Okay? Oh, really?
So if someone doesn't floss, that doesn't mean I'm not looking at them and going, oh, you're not taking care of your teeth. You might be using interdental picks, which are a lot more efficient.
Oh, those are great. I just got into those.
Because think about it. Floss is very thin. If you have big gaps, and unfortunately, I feel like we're almost in the same life stage, okay? Yeah. You're 16, your gums are nice and flush. You don't have any spacing. They're great. So flossing, fine. But when you get older, your gums recede. The spacing starts to get bigger. So that little bitty, again, pants that fit you aren't going to fit me. Like, oh, imagine true. Me going into your...
Keep it down over there.
Like, if you have a huge gap in between your teeth, and you're going with that itty bitty floss, how much debris are you really removing?
Interesting. Yeah, the stick thing, like Oral-B sticks, I think I use.
The soft picks?
Yeah, like I use that. They go like, because I have a retainer, I have a back bar. Perfect. So I do that. And then before they had them, I used to have the little string and the
floss. Loop it underneath.
Yeah. I'm crazy about my teeth. Like, again, if I devoted working out to what I do with my teeth, I'd be in great shape. I'd be amazing. What about mouthwash?
What are you doing? What's the purpose? Everything you're doing should have a purpose. So what is purpose of the mouthwash for you?
Every day I wake up before I brush my teeth and floss in the morning. You should probably do mouthwash after you do all that, but whatever. I do mouthwash first.
Okay.
I don't know. I've just always done that. I've always done that.
For freshness of breath or...
I feel like it helps loosen things up.
Loosen things up.
Yeah.
If you're brushing and using interdental pick or flossing, something... Basically, if you're brushing and using something in between the teeth, whether it's flossing or an interdental pick, then really you don't really need to be using anything else on top of that. Yeah. One thing you want to be careful about mouthwash is a lot of mouthwash has alcohol in it.
That's why I buy it. Mine's rum-based. I don't know.
Alcohol-based mouthwashes are very drying. They have a drying effect. So most people use it for fresh breath. The problem is if you dry out your mouth, you are going to have rancid breath.
True.
So they do it. Oh, my breath is fresh. And then literally a little bit later, they're like, oh, it smells so bad because it's so dry in your mouth.
Honestly. Wow. Yeah.
we have to have part two of this.
Yeah, Dad, are you learning things here? this is crazy. Any other mouthwash, flossing, staining. Like I have a staining. Like my teeth get stained because I drink black tea, like a madman every day.
And I drink coffee.
Yeah, and it's like when I go to the dentist, primarily it's just to remove stains. Because
that's a thing too. Is that there's actual bacteria that have color in it. So some people actually have
really
like black stain on their teeth.
Just
because they have that bacteria in their mouth. So there's that. There's also the texture of the surface of your mouth. So again, I might get a lot of calls for this, but that polish at the end, you have to be very careful about it because that polish it's like taking sandpaper and kind of...
So it's actually not necessary then.
Again, if your hygienist is doing a proper job, they should be able to take off the stain.
Now, what do you say proper job? Again, how long will we go here? A while? I need to ask these couple questions.
5 minutes?
5 more minutes? Okay. Sure. when I go to the dentist, when you go to the dentist and I go, they do a full scaling.
Yep.
Because I'm anal about it. Is that normal for cleaning? And how long should scaling take?
For an adult mouth, you should be in there for about a good 45 minutes to an hour. Like if it's 30 minutes and they're done.
That says it all.
Interesting.
It's, like 30 minutes, meaning they're taking your, because that's another thing that I want to be clear about. People are like, she wasn't in there for the full hour. Why am I getting charged? Because the way fees are done is that as soon as she brings you in and she's talking about your health, your history, all of that good stuff, that's a part of her scaling units.
Yeah.
Okay. So when a lot of patients are like, I was timing her and you know, she was only in there for only 20 minutes. Why am I getting charged 30? Okay. So for a 30-minute appointment, meaning she's taking your blood pressure, she's asking you about your health, then she's cleaning and you're out within 30 minutes. That's very quick.
So we have to go to the Shrine for lunch.
Yes, yeah, so 100%. Clean, 100%. Yeah. Now what? Any other questions regarding this? This has been fascinating.
Yeah, I've learned
honestly,
so much.
Like, I didn't know about the different colored bacteria. I thought I'm crazy about my teeth, but I think it's important that people die. What about whitening?
Okay, whitening's big. Whitening... only use whitening products like toothpaste. Do not use a whitening toothpaste.
Do not
use a whitening toothpaste.
Those charcoal ones or whatever.
No charcoal.
Wow.
Do you use them?
I've used it, but I don't know.
So whitening, there's no legislature as to what is whitening. When you're thinking about whitening, what we're thinking about is bleaching. If you want to bleach your teeth, chemically bleach your teeth. Everything else that's whitening, that's not actually bleaching your teeth, very, very dangerous.
Why?
Because they're using, sometimes they'll be using harsh abrasives, carbon toothpaste. So all of that, when you see on the internet, they're like, oh, you just take this and you rub it.
Yes.
Yeah, rub it on your teeth. You'll get the stain off, but you're also removing enamel. So when we're talking about the translucency of enamel, okay, great. It looks like all of a sudden that dent is showing through. What happened? And guess what? I can't fix that for you. I can't give you your enamel back.
How about baking? Baking soda is fine, right?
Baking soda is okay, but
again, are you dead?
Like, if you, like, same thing with like shampoos as well. Because I put shampoo in my hair, my dark Asian hair isn't going to turn blonde. It turns blonde by bleaching it.
Right.
Right. So toothpaste, what are you using to, again, what's the function of it? Toothpaste is to clean the teeth. All you need it to do is clean the teeth. You want to whiten the teeth or bleach the teeth? Bleach the teeth. It's not like an iPhone where it's multifunction.
Right.
Because that's the thing. That's
my head just like, you know what you think?
Like, I think you might get a new patient from this guy. Wow.
Toothpaste, on that note, like, not, they should be really posting the relative dentifrice abrasive factor on most toothpaste, but they can't because most toothpaste are way beyond what they should be.
What is a toothpaste that you should be using?
Honestly,
I was about to ask you that.
The cheapest. Go to
like Crest.
Go to wherever you buy it.
Yeah.
The Crest one that's like 99 cents that has just, it's just, it has no bells and whistles. It's just, it has fluoride and it has the cleaning ingredients to just clean your teeth. That's it.
So Colgate to know all those whitening.
I don't want to name any names, but I'll name names. Total, like,
yeah,
that kind of stuff.
How about Sensodyne and all that stuff?
Sensodyne's different because Sensodyne is actually made for sensitive teeth.
Okay.
But all those other ones, especially whitening, they usually have very harsh abrasives in them. Large particle abrasives.
Wow. Okay. Well, this was an episode. Thank Definitely, you. Yeah. Holy.
I know. We have to have part two.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah. Dr. Gina Lee, dentist and owner of Dentistry on University. Social media, it is your social media, Dentistry on University. Follow them. Great stuff on their social media and their website, dentistryonu.com. You're taking patients, right? If people want to be a patient, you're taking patients on, yes or no?
If they're as cool as you guys.
Yes.
Then yes.
Perfect. So we're in.
Yeah, 100%. Awesome. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you
for having me.
Awesome.